Hey there, and welcome into another episode of Tailgate Till May, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things, too. I'm back to preview week two of the college football season. You know, there's been a lot of talk recently about when does fall actually start? Is it when school starts? Is it when college football starts? Is it September 21st, which is the official definition of fall? To me, it's when you have a full weekend of football, and that would be this weekend, where we have the NFL kicking off tonight as I record this. The Ravens go to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs, and then you have a full weekend of college football and the NFL. I think that's what officially designates that it is fall, and we're here. That's where we're at. And week two was such an interesting week to me because it's the week where you have to decide, do you take what you saw in a one-game sample size, often against a team that plays at a completely different level of the sport or a team that's in a different tier of the sport, and decide, do you take that information if it's different from what you thought coming into the season? Which takes precedent? Which takes priority? And what do we really know about these teams? And I always love to view this college football season, any college football season, as a big puzzle where we learn a little bit more week by week about who does what well, who has issues here, who are the real contenders at the conference level, at the national level, who are the teams that are just having a completely off year, and each and every week we get to build on what we know and contribute to that puzzle. And especially when you're gambling and betting on these games, you got to determine, was week one representative of what these teams really are, or was it an aberration, or was it maybe they had a bad week, but you know it was at a was against a completely different level of the sport, and we can't really take it. Maybe it didn't have their full focus. The team didn't have their full focus, their full attention. Maybe they had an outstanding week against a team at a completely different level of the sport, an FCS team, and you say, hey, that's great, but I want to see you do it against somebody at the FBS level, at the Power Four level. And that's what week two is all about deciding. So without further ado, let's get right into this thing. Let's start breaking down week two of the college football season. Before I do that, last week, I had a very good week on my picks. I went 5-2 on straight bets, missed on my money line parlay, but overall, I was up 2.25 units for the week. I'm up 1.25 units on the season and looking to add to that. So let's get started on Friday night. There are no Thursday night football games this week because of the aforementioned NFL game. College football kind of seeds the stage, seeds the floor to the NFL on Thursday night. And there will be a couple games on Friday night. The one that I think is most interesting is BYU going to Dallas to take on SMU. SMU, an 11.5-point favorite in this game. The total, 55.5. And there's been something interesting going on with SMU. SMU has played two games now. They're 2-0. And they have a little bit of a situation at quarterback. They have Preston Stone, who was their quarterback last season, but got hurt at the very end of the season. And they also have Kevin Jennings, who's much more of a dual threat quarterback. Both played last week. Head coach Lashley indicated that Preston Stone is the starter, but both will play this week. So a little bit of a situation at quarterback there. It doesn't seem like necessarily a bad situation. Of course, the old cliche is when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. But I really truly do believe in modern day college football, you have to be able to win with your backup quarterback. You have to be able to win with your depth. So I don't view this as a bad thing. I think at some point they probably do need to figure out which one of these guys is the guy. I would imagine it's Preston Stone, unless he is limited coming off that injury. But right now they have two guys who I sincerely believe they feel like they can win with. And they go up against a BYU team that really struggled mightily in year one in the Big 12. It is a little bit odd to think BYU is the Big 12 team. SMU is not the Big 12 team. They're actually an ACC team, but geography is all out the window, as we all know. But BYU struggled in year one in the Big 12. And it's a big year for them. They're looking to rebound. They got off to a nice start, 1-0 start against an FCS school. And Jake Retzlaff, interestingly enough, won the starting quarterback job over Gary Bohannon, the former Baylor quarterback who transferred in. He made a pit stop along the way. But Jake Retzlaff, who played a couple games last year, won the job over him. And he was much better in this first game of the season than he was last year. He was 20 of 30, 3 touchdowns, no picks. But they are... It still leaves a lot to be desired, in my opinion. There's still a lot to prove if you're Jake Retzlaff. Because last year, in the action in the Big 12 games that he did play, it was low completion percentage. It was a bunch of picks. It was not very good, and it wasn't good enough to win. 3 touchdowns to 3 interceptions in 3 game in 4 games played. Completion percentage just barely above 50%. Not good enough. So the question becomes, how much did he actually improve over the course of this offseason? How good can he be this year? Truthfully, I don't think we will know based on a 41-13 win over Southern Illinois how much he truly improved. So I'm taking that performance with a grain of salt. And in this game, I am going to bet SMU minus the 11.5. Looking back at that Southern Illinois game for BYU, SIU ripped off nearly 5 yards per carry in this one. They were led by a running quarterback who had 121 yards on 15 carries. As I mentioned, Kevin Jennings, one of the 2 quarterbacks that SMU is playing, is a dual threat guy. So I look for them to take advantage there. Per Bill Connolly's numbers, this spread would have been over 2 touchdowns by his preseason numbers. BYU's offense took a big jump up in his numbers based on this game versus Southern Illinois. They're going to need to show a little bit more to me than just one game against an FCS opponent. BYU was 95th last year on defense. SMU has a very good offense. Their defense looks like it has played well so far this season and is continuing that upward trajectory. They took a big step up from 2022 to 2023. They look like they are still there. So I'm going to lay the 11.5 points with SMU. It's a bet against Jake Retzlaff. It's a bet against this BYU defense improving as much as they really need to based on that 5 yards per carry number for Southern Illinois in the opener. And it's a bet on these 2 quarterbacks, Kevin Jennings and Preston Stone for SMU. So give me the Mustangs minus an 11.5. To win 1 unit on Friday night. Let's move on to the Saturday slate. And at noon, it's a big one. It's Michigan, the defending national champs, hosting Texas. Texas, between a 7 and a 7.5 point favorite, the total in this one, 42.5. And this is one of those games where you really gotta decide. Was Michigan's lackluster performance against Fresno State enough to fundamentally change your mind on this team? Because it was a lackluster performance. The former walk-on Davis Warren gets the start over Alex Orji. And this is a team, you know, every indication, we didn't really have an indication throughout the summer of who that quarterback would be. There were like 4 guys in the mix. I think a lot of people assumed it was Alex Orji because they had some running packages for him last year. Well, he did not get the job. Davis Warren did, and he has a great story. Former walk-on, guy who beat cancer. He had leukemia. It's a really good story and a cool story, but it does raise some questions about how good this Michigan team is and how good they're going to be offensively this year. It's a game they won 30-10 against Fresno State, but it was 16-10 deep into the fourth quarter. And I think there are some serious questions about just how good this Michigan offense is right now and how good it can be moving forward. I think a lot of people assumed it was going to be Alex Orji at quarterback. And Alex Orji is a guy who has shown tremendous athleticism. And I think the offense fundamentally changes if it's Davis Warren, who doesn't nearly have that dual threat ability that Alex Orji does. And, you know, so you got to determine here, like, Michigan, this Michigan defense is still going to be very good. They held Fresno State to 9 yards rushing. That's right, 9 yards rushing. They had 3 sacks, 6 tackles for a loss. Michigan's defense is going to be just fine. Will Johnson is still one of the best cornerbacks in the country. But can they grind their way out to big victories against the likes of a Texas, against the likes of Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State now, whose offense looks a whole lot better? That is going to be the big question. Now, for Texas's part, look, they have some questions about their running game. They really do. They had their starting running back, CJ Baxter, go down in preseason camp. They were at one point down to 3 scholarship running backs. Jaden Blue, a very good backup running back there. But if you have some questions about your running game, going into Ann Arbor, I don't think is the place that you necessarily want to be going. But Texas does come into this game as a 7.5-point favorite. I think before week one, before that Fresno State game, it would have been closer. And I'm sure there were numbers out there. I just can't remember them offhand. But I think it was closer to like 3.5, 4, 3 to 4 than a full touchdown. It's an interesting spot. My instinct here is like you want to take the defending national champ at home with a good, very, very good defense, an excellent defense, especially when everybody's doubting them. It's a classic buy low spot. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that at this point. What I am going to do, though, is I am going to go under 21 on the first half total. Under 21 points on the first half total. That'll be to win one unit. My logic here is this, very simple. Michigan still has an excellent defense. I don't necessarily trust Texas to be able to run on them. I think Michigan, from everything we've ever seen from them, is going to try to limit possessions, is going to slow the game down, is going to run very few plays. And we've seen in the past, Texas repeatedly started slow last year. Against Rice to start last season, it was 16-3 at halftime. Even against Alabama, a game that finished with, I think, 60-some-odd points, it was 13-6 at halftime. Against Wyoming, 10-7. Kansas, 13-7. K-State, 17-7. And Iowa State, 6-3. So this has been a trend for Texas over the last year. And even last week, in a game that ended 51-0, it was just 10-0 over halfway through the second quarter. I think this is a very slow-paced game early on. I think Michigan's defense certainly holds their own early on. I do think Texas probably wears them down at the end of the day, which is why I'm just trying to stay away from Michigan. I don't think Michigan has quite enough firepower in this one. But I view this very similarly to the Clemson-Georgia game last week, where I played that first half under. That was a higher number. That was like 26 or 26.5. Can't remember exactly off the top of my head here. I think it was, yeah, it's 26.5, but I still like this number, 21, under 21. I think Texas ultimately does wear them down. Every instinct in my body is to take the defending national champ with the great defense at home as a 7.5-point dog. Instead, I am just going to go with the under 21.5 in the first half. I think that is the thing that I trust most in this game. That'll be on my TV1. On my TV2 is a game that I think is going to be really exciting. It's Arkansas +7.5 at Oklahoma State. The total 62.5 in this one. And these are two schools that are relatively close distance-wise. They feel like relatively close culturally, like they should have been playing for years and years and years. And it's probably because Arkansas, you know, it was in the Southwest Conference with Texas and all of those schools that would go on to be Big 12 schools. Arkansas was never a Big 12 school, but it feels like these two schools should be playing football against each other, and they are. And Oklahoma State is a team that, as we know, it's all about the running game. It's Ollie Gordon, Ollie Gordon, Ollie Gordon. He was off to a great start this season. He was the leading rusher in America last year. And Arkansas had some games a year ago where they really got tore up on the ground. Now, the big headline coming out of Arkansas's first game is that they won 70-0 against Arkansas Pine Bluff. They had 10 possessions and they scored 10 touchdowns. In the SP Plus offensive rankings, they moved from number 39 to number 22 based on that performance. And I think there is something real there. You don't go and you don't score 10 touchdowns in a game on 10 possessions without there being something real. The question is, can they do that against Oklahoma State? The bigger question to me, too, is can they stop the Oklahoma State running game? This is Talen Green is Arkansas's new quarterback. I think the combination of him and Bobby Petrino is a significant change, is a real change, but this is going to be a huge test for them. And now on the Oklahoma State side, I think this is a huge deal for the Big 12, because if the Big 12 is looking to be a two-bid, a multi-bid league for the college football playoff, you really can't have the team that is projected number three by the media to start the season, number three in the league, a legitimate conference title contender, lose to one of the bottom tier teams in the SEC. So I think there's a lot of stakes here. I think there's a lot riding on this. I am going to use one of these two teams in my Moneyline parlay of the week. I will get to that at the end of the show, but this is one I'm going to be watching, because if Arkansas can win this game, you have to consider Arkansas in a very different light. Like, okay, this is a bowl team. This is a team that is significantly better than last year. Sam Pittman has found something. Things are gelling with Bobby Petrino as the offensive coordinator, and this is a real legitimate threat to win on a week-to-week basis in the SEC. And if all Oklahoma State can take care of business, then you're like, okay, this is an Oklahoma State team that is not playing around. They're not messing with their food in the non-conference. They're not going to lose to South Alabama like they did last year. This is a team that grew throughout the 2023 season and is picking up where it left off. The defense returns a ton, and yeah, the defense is better, because that's a question that I have. The defense returned a ton. They weren't great last year. Is just returning those guys going to make them better year over year? Is Alan Bowman in his seventh year able to take a step forward and become more of a threat with the downfield passing game? They have a wide receiver and Brennan Presley, who I really like, but who else can step up there? I think there's still some questions for Oklahoma State, but if they could take care of business in this one, they could win and cover this spread. Then I'm starting to think, okay, Oklahoma State is legitimately a college football playoff team. Oklahoma State is legitimately a Big 12 championship contender, and maybe the Big 12 can get multiple bids, because if you have a team like Utah, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State all playing at that level, then I think your odds do increase there. So this is one I'm definitely watching on my TV too. So on my TV 3, on my computer, whatever that third screen is, I'm going to be flipping between a couple games. It's Kansas State going to Tulane, Georgia Tech traveling to Syracuse, and Pitt go into Cincinnati. And I will say for the record, I like today's slate, or this week's slate, a lot better than last week's. The dirty little secret with college football can be when you just have standalone games and not a lot else going on, it can get a little boring. It can get a little stale. The beauty of college football is that there is always so much going on that if one game is not great, you can find something else. I didn't feel like we had that last week because there were so many FBS versus FCS games. And it's like there was a point where Georgia's just sitting on Clemson, just smothering them to death. And you have Penn State, West Virginia, and a weather delay. And you're kind of sitting there like, what am I gonna watch right now? There's nothing that great going on. And I was lucky because I had the Maryland-UConn game and I was enjoying Maryland thrashing UConn. But this week provides so much more of that depth. I don't think there was a time slot last week at all where I could legitimately say, okay, there's five games that I'm really interested in that are going to be competitive. And right here, I think you have that. And let's start with this Kansas State game going to Tulane. You know, Tulane is a very different team with Willie Fritz now going from New Orleans to Houston to take that Houston Cougar job, try to rebuild that program after they parted ways with Dana Holgorsen. And Kansas State is a team that was upset by the Green Wave a couple years ago in Manhattan. So they have to go on the road and try to get a win there. They're a 9.5-point favorite. I don't think that's going to be a super easy task, but I can't say I feel exactly the same way about this Green Wave team that I did when Michael Pratt was the quarterback there, when Willie Fritz was the head coach there, when they were beating USC in bowl games. So I don't exactly know how to feel about this one, how to play this one. I'm not going to play it at all. I am going to be watching, though, because this goes along the same lines of what I'm saying about Oklahoma State, Arkansas. This is not a game Kansas State cannot lose if the Big 12 is going to be a multi-bid league. So a lot riding on, a lot going for the Big 12 in this early time slot on Saturday. This is one I'll definitely have my eye on. Now, Georgia Tech at Syracuse is another one that I'm going to have my eye on because Georgia Tech has been one of the stories of the early season so far. Of course, they go over to Dublin. They beat Florida State in that week zero game. They follow that up with a win against Georgia State. Syracuse is a program that has had a ton of momentum over the course of the last several months with Fran Brown coming in as the head coach. A lot of recruiting momentum there. Georgia Tech, a 3-point favorite in this game in the dome. The total is 60.5. And when I look at this game, I just think about Georgia Tech and what they were last season, where as an underdog, they were so good, but as a favorite, and they were favored 4 times last season, they were 1-3 against the spread, 2-2 outright, including home losses to Bowling Green and Boston College. So Georgia Tech has to show us this year, now, if they are truly going to take a step forward. Yes, you got to win big games, like when you're an underdog to open the season against Florida State, a Florida State team that does not look great, that certainly does not look like an ACC title contender at this point through 2 weeks of the season. But you also have to follow that up by taking care of business when you have to, especially if you want to be an ACC title contender, if you really want to take a step forward. And that's the situation that the Jackets find themselves this weekend as they head up north to Syracuse. So for Syracuse, they opened the season last week with a win against Ohio, and it was a good game for Syracuse. I would say it looked very impressive offensively, throwing the ball with Kyle McCord as their new quarterback. You forget a little bit about all the weapons they have with Aronde Gadsden there at tight end. He had a big game. LaQuint Allen at running back had a big game. There is a lot of skill position talent at Syracuse, but one of the things they did not do very well a week ago was stop the run. Ohio ran for 255 yards against Syracuse. Georgia Tech is a team that we know runs the ball very well. Georgia Tech is a team that we know is very explosive in the run game. They can be very explosive in the pass game too. So I think this is a game where you're going to have two very good offenses. I have questions about that Syracuse defense. I have still have some questions about the Georgia Tech defense because they were not very good last year. That's part of why I bet the over on the Florida State game. That didn't hit because it was a super low possession game. It was only 14 possessions. But now I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, that Florida State offense does not look good at all. I am going to go ahead and bet the over here, over 60.5. I think this is a game where on that fast track in the dome, that artificial surface, Syracuse is going to be throwing the ball all over the place. They're going to hit some big plays with that skill position talent. I think Georgia Tech's going to hit some big plays both in the running game and in the passing game. And I think this is one that's a little a few more possessions than that Florida State game. It was only 14 possessions against Georgia State. They had 19 possessions. In Syracuse's game against Ohio, they actually had 20 possessions. They threw the ball 40 times versus 30 runs. So I think that this is a game that is going to be a little faster paced, and I think we're going to get to see a little bit more. Okay, how much did this Georgia Tech defense improve? This feels like a game to me that just gets a little faster, gets a little wacky, and goes over. So I'm going to take the 60.5 here. I am also going to take one of these teams as the second leg of my money line parlay of the week. Let's move to the mid-afternoon. And on my TV 1 and 2, it's going to be two games that I'm not betting. TV 1, Iowa State +3.5 at Iowa, a total of 35.5. And this is a series that Iowa has absolutely dominated over the years. I'm a big fan of Iowa State coming into this season. I bet their season win total over. I bet them to win the Big 12 at 10-1. I like this Iowa State team. But going to Iowa State City, it's hard for me to trust the Cyclones to get the job done because they haven't done it a lot in the past. Yeah, they did it a couple years ago, but is this Iowa offense actually better? People didn't think so in the first half last week. Well, then they explode for a ton of points, end up putting up 40 last week against an FCS opponent. So maybe, just maybe, this Iowa offense is better. I'm tempted to take Iowa State +3.5 in a game that only has a total of 35.5, but recent history indicates that's not such a good idea. In a game where I'm this uncertain, I'm just not going to play it. However, I am going to be rooting for Iowa State from a season win total perspective. I'm going to be very interested in watching this because if Iowa State can win this game, then again, it's a huge win for the Big 12. It gives them a win over the Big 10, and it maybe it gives them another team that's like, okay, they're building a real resume here, and maybe they could be a college football playoff team. So no play here, but what I'm super interested in watching. TV2, an SEC matchup, a conference game. South Carolina is between a 8.5 to 9.5 point dog going to Lexington to take on Kentucky. The total in this one, 42.5. And this is one that I had circled before the season where I said, I'm pretty down on South Carolina, but I'm not going to bet their win total. I like this Kentucky team. I'm not going to bet their win total, but I think I'm going to circle this one and bet Kentucky in week two against South Carolina. Well, that plan didn't go according to plan because South Carolina looked horrible against Old Dominion. Their new quarterback, Lenora Sellers, had a very up and down day. Not a lot going on through the air. Nick Harbor, their stud athletic freak, number one on Bruce Feldman's freaks list in back-to-back years. A guy who was at one point trying to qualify for the Paris Olympics as a sprinter, did not get a catch, did not catch one ball in that game for the Gamecocks. And talk to South Carolina fans, it almost feels like they lost that game the way they are reacting. So this line shot all the way up to 8.5, 9.5. I thought this would be something like 3.5. Under a touchdown, I would have played Kentucky, because I don't trust this South Carolina offense. I really like this Kentucky defense, but between 8.5 to 9.5, I just don't like it. If it got to 10.5, I don't think it's going to, but I think at that point I would have to play South Carolina because this is still a team with a defense that I like. It's still a team with SEC talent, and these are games that have been close and physical over the years. There's a little bit of a rivalry between these two, and especially between Shane Beamer and Mark Stoops. So, unfortunately, sometimes you think you're going to get a number, you don't get it. That's when you got to be smart and just stay away from it. I'm staying away from this one, but I will have my eyes on this one because if South Carolina plays like they did against Old Dominion, this one could get ugly and things could begin to spiral there in Columbia. And as far as Kentucky goes, I mean, Kentucky could build something this year. I want to see more from Brock Vandegrift, the transfer quarterback from Georgia. I want to get a look at him and see how much he's developed, how much of a legitimate SEC quarterback he is. Of course, he didn't beat out Carson Beck for the starting job. There's no shame in that. We see how good Carson Beck is, probably the first quarterback off the board in next year's NFL draft. But how good is he, and how much can he elevate that Kentucky offense? What is new offensive coordinator Bush Hamden's offense look like? It looked pretty decent in week one against Southern Miss in a weird game that was shortened due to weather. What does it look like against an SEC opponent? I'll definitely be locked into this one on my TV too. On my third screen, I got one game that I'm really going to be locked into here, a couple other that I'm going to keep my eyes on, but one where I am betting and therefore going to be locked in on. I'm betting this Baylor at Utah game. So I believe this is a non-conference game, despite the fact that both are in the Big 12. This is a series that was previously scheduled, so it will be a non-conference matchup. They played last year. They're going to play again this year to finish the series. It will not count for the conference standings. The way I'm betting this one is I am betting the Baylor team total under 19.5. I'm betting to win one unit on that one. That's a minus 110 line. And I'm also going to take an alternate team total, Baylor team total under 14.5. I'm going to bet a half unit there. That's plus 180. I think this Baylor team could get absolutely shut out by Utah. This Utah defense was unbelievable last year. It was a defense that carried the offense when they had all these injuries, no Cam Rising, no Brankeith, nobody. Only five teams broke 20 points last year against Utah. That was USC with Caleb Williams. That was Oregon that had one of the best offenses in the sport. That was Washington, which had one of the best offenses in the sport and went to the national championship game. It was Arizona with Noah Fafita and Tet McMillen, one of the best quarterback receiver duos in the sport. And Oregon State was the fifth team. And they scored 21 points. Those are the only five teams that broke 20 against Utah last year. Now, by that same token, Utah held opponents under 14.5 in 7 of 13 games last season. That's how good this defense was. I think the defense is very good again. And they face a Baylor offense that was not very good last year. Now, there have been a lot of changes. They bring in a new offensive coordinator in Jake Spavital. They bring in a new quarterback in Daquan Finn, the transfer from Toledo. And they looked better last week. They did, admittedly, in a 45-3 win against Tarleton State. But Tarleton State still had four tackles for a loss, a sack, two picks, and a havoc rate of 10%. Baylor also only rushed for 3.8 yards per carry. That is not going to cut it against a Utah team that is dominant defensively. You also have to factor in that nobody plays well when they go out to Salt Lake City. So I think Baylor absolutely gets shut down by this Utah team. Now, I also think for Baylor's part, I think with Dave Aranda taking over the defense, I do think that defense will be a little bit better. So I think this one will be a little bit tighter throughout, where it's not like Utah is just blowing them out and giving up easy points because it doesn't really matter. I think that Baylor defense with Dave Aranda taking it over again and taking over the play calling responsibilities will have them playing better this season, and that game will be a little bit tighter, at least through the first half. But I do not trust Baylor to score here. I still love this Utah defense, and that's why I'm playing this under 19.5 on the team total for Baylor. I'm also playing that alternate team total under 14.5. I'm going to risk a half unit there. That's plus 180 on that alternate line. I'm going to bet 1.1 units to win a unit on the team total under 19.5. Another game I'm watching here is my squad, the Terps. Maryland takes on Michigan State in a conference game. And I bet Maryland last week -20.5 against UConn. It was very popular to go the other way on the Huskies. I thought Billy Edwards, Maryland's quarterback, was extraordinarily impressive in that game. He did more than I could have possibly imagined throwing the ball. He looked like he had a good grasp of the offense. He looked like he was a legitimate dual threat quarterback. I would have hesitated to call him a dual threat quarterback before, because I didn't think he really had the passing game. I knew he had the running game, but what I saw in the passing game was very impressive. Maryland's wide receivers are very good. Maryland's defense, led by Brian Williams at defensive coordinator, is very good. Maryland, an 8.5-point favorite in this game, 9.5 some places. It looks like it's 9.5 everywhere right now, actually. This line has shot up a bunch since it opened. I like Maryland to win this game. I'm not betting Maryland in this game. Michigan State did not look very good offensively in its opener with Jonathan Smith at the helm, Aiden Chiles at quarterback. I lost a bet on them. I bet them -13.5 against FAU. That did not go very well in large part because of a critical Aiden Chiles interception. I think this is going to be a tall task for Aiden Chiles going on the road. College Park, not exactly the most hostile environment, but it's still a different deal going on the road. This is a big game for Maryland because, quite honestly, looking at Maryland's schedule, they have the potential to start the season 6-0. they can be 6-0 going into a game against USC. They have Michigan State at home, at Virginia, Villanova at Indiana, Northwestern at home. So they essentially have three of probably the four worst teams in the conference in the lead up to that USC game. They have some potential here. I've liked this defense all offseason. I think the defense is the strength of the team. And the fact that Billy Edwards showed so much in the passing game in his first outing against UConn really says a lot. I know it was just UConn, but he threw for 11.5 yards per attempt, 311 yards on the day, two touchdowns, no picks. He was very, very impressive in this one. And Maryland has so much skill position talent around him. Still some question marks on the offensive line, but Maryland is a team that I am watching to get off to a hot start this season and be a factor, not in the Big Ten championship race by any means, but maybe a team that could win if they can get off to that 6-0 start, who could win like 9 games, who could win 8 games. That would be a significant step up for a Maryland program that has been around, 6-7 wins in the regular season, add an 8th with a bowl win. It's a Maryland program, though, that I feel like has really solidified itself as a program that is consistent, that takes care of business when it needs to, just needs to find a way to get some big wins. But a very exciting start to the season for the Terps. I'm really fired up about it, and I'm going to have my eyes on this one. Cal at Auburn also at this time slot. Northern Illinois at Notre Dame also here. Notre Dame, of course, coming off that big win at Texas A&M a week ago, watching for a little bit of a letdown spot. I just think that Notre Dame defense is so good, though. Northern Illinois' quarterback Ethan Hampton had the third best QBR of the season so far. He was 18 of 20 in week one, 5 touchdowns, no picks versus Western Illinois, an FCS team. So a good start for him. Interesting to see what he might be able to do against that Notre Dame defense, but that Notre Dame defense looks playoff caliber. It looks national championship caliber, if you ask me. I mean, they looked absolutely incredible, especially that secondary, especially that defensive line. They were very, very, very good. The big question for Notre Dame is going to be how much can they progress offensively? One more bet at this time slot. It's going to be North Carolina minus 22.5 versus Charlotte. Charlotte is a team that is tremendously injured coming out of fall camp. Their head coach said as much. He said that they were down to, they definitely had, he said before the opener against JMU, he said, quote, "We have definitely 8 and probably 9 starters that are injured," end quote. That is ridiculous. He also blamed himself for his overzealous nature. They got blown out last week 30-7 by JMU. JMU had 6 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks in that game. It was a 9-7 game at halftime. It ended 30-7. And now keep in mind, this is a JMU team that was absolutely gutted in the transfer portal. Kurt Cignetti took the head job at Indiana. He took a ton of that roster with him. Charlotte was really worn down in the second half of that game. Gave a little bit of an update on the injury situation this week. Doesn't seem much better. So I'm taking Carolina minus 22.5 here. Their quarterback, Max Johnson, was hurt in the first game against Minnesota, and they are going to roll with Connor Harrell. I think he can do the job. I really love Amari and Hampton, their running back. North Carolina has some playmakers on the defensive line. I think they get after Charlotte defensively. I think Connor Harrell is good enough to do the job here, and I think this should be closer to like a 27.5, 28-point spread. Give me the Heels, minus 22.5. Let's move on now to prime time, and on TV1 is going to be Tennessee minus 10 at NC State, a total of 60.5 in that one. That starts at 7:30, and that game is in Charlotte. And this primetime slot to me is all about seeing the next generation of quarterbacks, because we have Nico Iamaliava, everybody's favorite at Tennessee. He had a fantastic week one. He's all the rage. He's all the hype. And then on TV2, I'll have Colorado, which is a 7 or 7.5 point dog, going to Nebraska to take on the Cornhuskers. A total of 56.5 in that one. And that game is also at 7:30. Dylan Raiola is the guy for the Cornhuskers. So I've talked a lot about the class of 2022 with quarterbacks and how it really hasn't contributed a ton so far when you look around the college football landscape. Well, the class of 2023 with Nico Iamaliava and the class of 2024 with Dylan Raiola, they are going to take center stage on prime time on Saturday night, and it's going to be a lot of fun to have those two games dueling at once. As far as how I'm going to bet this, I have to bet NC State plus 10 in this Tennessee-NC State game. This is really a pure and simple contrarian play. All of the tickets, like 90%+ of the tickets, are on Tennessee. Everybody is betting Tennessee. Nico Iamaliava is all the rage. They looked fantastic against UT Chattanooga a week ago. And NC State did not look very good against Western Carolina. I think you have to take both of those results with a grain of salt because they're against FCS opponents. And to me, it's kind of classic that NC State would not look great and find a way under Dave Doran with that defense to muck things up against Tennessee. The reason that I think NC State even has a chance in this game is because they do have a very good defense, but they also have weapons. Casey Concepcion is one of the best receivers in the ACC, if not the country. Grayson McCall, their quarterback, didn't look great to start the season, but he's a guy who's been proven over time in college football to be a very good quarterback. Tennessee does have questions in their secondary. They have to replace all five starters. They had a big injury in the preseason, and they weren't tested against UT Chattanooga. I just think this is a situation where Tennessee looked unbelievable, NC State looked very bad, and everybody is going one way. When that's happening, I have to go the other way. Maybe it turns out this line should be closer to 14, which is what Bill Connolly's SP Plus says. I just think the way this is going, I have to take a chance on NC State here, given the spot, given the situation. When things seem one way, when things seem obvious, when it seems like Tennessee is the greatest team, NC State is terrible, how is this game going to be even close? In college football, things tend to go the other way. And this is, you know, sometimes I love stats, I love numbers, but sometimes things are nebulous. Sometimes it's a gut feeling. Sometimes you've seen this happen time and time again where it seems obvious and it's not. So I'm going away from the obvious here. I think Nico Iamaliava is great. I think he's going to be outstanding. I have a Tennessee to make the college football playoff ticket that I bet before the season started. I think this team has a very high ceiling. I still think there are some questions, and I think NC State is the kind of team that could muck things up. I think NC State is the kind of team that could hit that secondary a little bit with a guy like Concepcion in that receiving core. So I'm going to take the pack plus 10. It's just a gut feeling when things look so good for one team the week before, so bad for the other, and both were against FCS opponents, which I always take with a grain of salt because you don't know how focused the team is. You don't know, you know, how much they care about a game, and they should care. They should care about every game, and you want a team to be focused, but we see it all the time in college basketball too. A team blows somebody out the lower level, it doesn't always mean a ton. A team struggles with a team at a lower level, it doesn't always mean a ton once they take a step up in competition. I'm going with the contrarian play here. I'm going with the pack plus 10. No bet for me in Colorado, Nebraska. This is one I am just sitting back and trying to enjoy and watch. Like, I just find that with Colorado, all of the odds are so skewed all the time that I just don't even have a good feel for it, and I don't like to really bet them. Nebraska, very good defense a season ago. I want to see how much their offense has improved with Raiola. I really didn't watch them at all last week. This will be my first chance to really get a good look at Dylan Raiola, and this could be a fun one. Nebraska ran a lot of plays last week. I still always think with Matt Rhule, under Matt Rhule, they will be a defense-first team. But this one could have some shootout potential because we know how Colorado likes to throw the ball. We know about Colorado's lack of defense, and it might be a shootout here. So I'm really looking forward to watching this one. On the third screen, there's a bunch of games. USF at Alabama, Kansas at Illinois, Virginia at Wake Forest, another conference game in the ACC, and App State at Clemson. I got one bet here. It's App State plus 17 at Clemson. I've loved this App State offense in this team all offseason long. I bet them to win the Sun Belt. I bet them to make the college football playoff, and I'm going to bet them here plus 17. Major letdown spot for Clemson after being physically beat up by Georgia in the Georgia Dome. Now they come home and they have to play a frisky group of five opponent. App State has a great offense. Their defense is the question mark. But my thought here is, can App State hit some big plays on a very good Clemson defense and force Cade Klubnik to do things that he doesn't want to do, to take some chances he doesn't want to make? Because we have seen in the past, that is not a good recipe for Clemson. App, of course, is the giant killer. Something extraordinarily interesting here is that according to Bill Connolly's numbers, this game should be closer to a 10-point spread. Bill Connolly has this as Clemson minus 9.7, so round that up to 10. I love the value there. I am taking App State plus 17. This is a huge opportunity for them when it comes to that group of five playoff bid, because if they could get a win here, that would put them in the driver's seat for that position. So give me App State plus 17. Late night, bunch of games here, no bets. I'll just list them off real quick. Boise State at Oregon is one of the big ones. I also like Texas Tech at Washington State, Mississippi State at Arizona State, Oregon State at San Diego State, and then USC host Utah State to end the night. I'm interested in Oregon-Boise because Boise looked great on the ground last week against Georgia Southern. Ashton Jankty ran all over the place, one of the best running backs in the country. They didn't look great defensively. And for Oregon, you know, they statistically dominated a game against Idaho, but the score was much closer than you would have thought. So interested to see this week how things look for the Ducks, a team that, you know, they win 24-14 against Idaho. Everybody comes in the year saying, like, this is a national championship team. You look at that score, you don't think so, but you look at the stats and they dominated them. You know, 7.6 yards per pass to 6.2. They only ran for 2.9 yards per carry, but they held Idaho to 2.5. I know they had some offensive line injuries. Interested to see what Boise does against them this week on the ground and how Oregon responds to a lackluster performance. When I look at this slate too, I see Washington State and I see Oregon State there, and it really shows you how much the dissolution of the Pac-12 and what happened to those two programs has really impacted them, because you just kind of view them in a different light now. They're playing at 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m. They're playing relatively decent name programs. You know, Washington State hosts Texas Tech. Oregon State goes to San Diego State, which is not a power four team, but has been a very good group of five team over the years. And it just feels like they are out there playing in the middle of the night with really no stakes. And it sucks because those are two great game day environments, great game day atmospheres, and part of what makes the sport great. But the Texas Tech thing will be interesting. Texas Tech struggled mightily with an FCS opponent last week. Texas Tech struggles to start seasons. For whatever reason, Texas Tech really does struggle to start seasons. Last year, it was Wyoming, and they rebound by playing a really close game with Oregon, where they almost won. It seemed like they could have won that game, and we'll see what happens this year, because they beat Abilene Christian 52-51 in overtime. They gave up 500 plus yards through the air to Abilene Christian. That's not great. And now they have to go out to Wazoo, and a Wazoo program that desperately, I'm sure, wants to beat a Power Four team. A ton of the tickets. Like, I think this is another 90% ticket game where everybody, and I mean everybody, is on Washington State. That was my instinct as well. I'm staying away from this one. We'll see if Texas Tech can rebound. This could be another game where it's like just building that Big 12 resume. Does the Big 12 go out and lose games like this, or does it win games like this? And then the Mississippi State game is interesting. 10:30 at night, they go out to Arizona State. Arizona State, who is trying to build things under Kenny Dillingham. I thought they were frisky at times last year. They get off to a good start this season with a win to start the year. And Mississippi State, in Jeff Lebby's first year as the head coach, goes out there for a late night game, and they look good offensively in week one. You know, you would expect fireworks from a Jeff Lebby offense, and that'll be one to keep an eye on late at night if you're up trying to finish off your college football Saturday. Okay, to wrap things up, here's my money line parlay of the week. I am going to go with Syracuse at home against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has to prove it to me that they can win games like this. It's the conference home opener for Fran Brown. I like Syracuse to throw it all over the place in this one. I think it's a high-scoring game. I bet the over, and I like Syracuse to find a way to get it done. I like Arkansas on the road at Oklahoma State, taking down the Cowboys. I think there's something there with this Arkansas offense. I'm choosing to buy what I saw in week one. I think they're explosive, and Oklahoma State has had problems against explosive passing games in the past, last season. The question for me in this one is, can Arkansas find a way to shut down Ollie Gordon? They got to find a way to do it for 1 week, but I think there's something there with the offense, and we'll see if the defense is improved. I don't like it enough to bet Arkansas plus 7.5, but I like it to take a shot on the money line. And then the last one here is I'm going to bet Virginia at Wake Forest. That'll finish things out. The total odds on that one are going to be plus 1410, so I'm going to bet a half unit at plus 1410. That's just over 14-1 odds. I'm taking Virginia here at Wake because I like their quarterback, Anthony Calandria, a young, exciting player who was boom or bust last year, better than I like Hank Bachmeyer, who has been in college football forever. And really, he's bounced around Boise State, Louisiana Tech. He has not He's not a significantly different quarterback to me than he was 4 or 5 years ago. And Anthony Calandria, he's shown at times that he can be a guy that will win games for you, that he'll make plays for you. And he's also a guy that at times has lost games for Virginia. But I think he's kind of an X factor, a difference maker, kind of like Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt last week. And we'll see if a full offseason has enabled him to cut out some of that lose games for you type of thing. So I actually like this Virginia team. I like this Virginia offense. They return a ton of returning production, and I'm a little surprised that people weren't higher on them as a team that could kind of surprise in the ACC, you know, not win it or anything, but like come close to making a bowl game. They were 8th nationally in returning production, 6th on the offensive side, 20th on the defensive side. I like Anthony Calandria. I think he's just one of those guys who makes plays when the lights are bright. So I'm going to take a chance there with the Hoos going to Wake Forest. So again, that is going to be Syracuse, Arkansas, and UVA all on the money line, just over 14-1 odds. Going to risk a half unit there. That's the show for today. Enjoy the games this weekend, everybody. And until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.